And what was he telling them, perhaps? March 4th, boys, come on, March 4th, keep going. We must keep going. Imagine the pain and the anguish in the hearts of those young men who were thinking, we're marching to our death. We're never going to get home. But Father Capon, March 4th, keep going. And perhaps this is a little stretch, but I can't think of another way in which a date speaks of the imperative of this servant of God better, that his remains were identified on March 4th. And that is, in fact, the message that Father Capon gave to his boys. And I suggest that that's the same message he's giving to us now as Capon's men. March 4th, keep walking, keep journeying, keep following the Lord.
March 4th is a significant date for the Universal Church. And the fact that Father Capon's remains were identified on March 4th of 2021 is an imperative, according to Capon's men, dear friend, and chaplain, Father John Lansreth. As we continue our series, Father Capon Comes Home, over the next several weeks, we'll be highlighting different aspects of the return of Father's mortal remains here to Kansas, up until the culmination of his funeral mass on September 29th. Inspired by Servant of God, Father Emil Capon, thank you for joining in another holy conversation to strengthen our faith. This is Jason Searle, Chairman of Capon's Men. Welcome to the Foxhole.
My name is Joe Ferris, and I want to personally welcome you to the Foxhole. It is a great honor to be walking this journey of welcoming Father Capon home. And I'm so excited this week to share with you a holy conversation I recorded with Father John Lansreth. You'll hear me call him Father John and Father Lansreth. He's just one of those people that has been around Capon's Men, the retreats, and a lot of us individually for years. I consider him a close friend. I consider him a spiritual mentor and hero. And I think if you listen real close, you can see and hear his love for Father Capon, his incredible love for humanity and the people around him. And most importantly, and I think he would agree, is his love for Jesus. So you're going to be treated today. You're going to be challenged a little bit, and you're going to be encouraged a whole lot, because we have entered the season of welcoming Father Capon home. So I want to ask you to pray. Pray for me, pray for the podcast, pray for Capon's Men, and pray for Father John as we have a holy conversation, because we're praying for you. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we trust you, we love you, and we surrender to you everything. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to learn how to be the men you've called us to be. I ask all of these things to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of my mother, and I ask especially during this Father Capon Comes Home series for the prayers of Father Capon. Amen. Welcome to the Foxhole, Father Lansreth, a hero of Capon's Men. Welcome to the Foxhole, Father. You out there?
I am, Joe. Thank you so much. It's great to be back in the Foxhole.
You're a return guest, and we don't have a lot of those, so I'm excited to break some stuff open with you today. Father, you have been the chaplain of Capon's Men for a long time, really since the beginning. So I want to jump, because we're doing the Welcome Home or Father Capon Comes Home series, and I want to know, maybe for those listening, Father, where you were when you heard the news that Father Capon's remains had been identified, and what exactly was your reaction first, even before we speak of the church's reaction?
Okay. That date in which the defense of the POWMIA accounting agency, as it is called, first notified the Capon family on March the 4th, of 2021. And I heard the news later that day. And Joe, the only thing I could think of that could perhaps be as a surprise in terms of news from our church happened on February the 11th of 2013. And you may recall that on that day, the world was told through an announcement of Pope Benedict the 16th that he had resigned as Pope. And the shock of that was so absolutely astounding to me that in 2013, when I got that news, I started to cry because I think my heart was filled with fear and uncertainty about, oh my God, what's happening? But on March the 4th of 2021, when I first heard the news about the remains of Father Capon had been positively identified in Hawaii, my physical reaction was to once again weep with tears, but now it was with incredible joy and wonder. I still am just absolutely in wonder. And perhaps this is a little foolish of me, but the date itself, you know, Father Capon Joe was actually born on Holy Thursday in 1916. Obviously, on Holy Thursday, Jesus instituted the sacraments of holy orders and of the Holy Eucharist. What an incredible day for a priest to be born on Holy Thursday. Well, then in 2021, the announcement was made that his bodily remains had been identified on a date, March 4th. And Joe, in the course of thinking about it since then, that date itself is in fact an imperative. And I couldn't help but think that Father Capon was encouraging his boys, as he affectionately called them, on that journey after they had been captured in that Battle of Unsan on the way to the prisoner of war camp in Biaktong. And what was he telling them, perhaps? March 4th, boys, come on, March 4th, keep going. We must keep going. Imagine the pain and the anguish in the hearts of those young men who were thinking, we're marching to our death. We're never going to get home. But Father Capon, March 4th, keep going. And perhaps this is a little stretch, but I can't think of another way in which a date speaks of the imperative of this servant of God better, that his remains were identified on March 4th. And that is, in fact, the message that Father Capon gave to his boys. And I suggest that that's the same message he's giving to us now as Capon's men. March 4th, keep walking, keep journeying, keep following the Lord.
Okay, that's why we love you and Capon's men, Father John, because you can, and guys, you'll hear me go back and forth between Father John and Father Lanzarith. I might mix it up a little bit, kind of like Father Capon or Father Capon, but let's say this, you hear already, those listening, the love that Father Lanzarith has for Father Capon and his story. And I think one of the beauties that you've always brought to Capon's men is you connect the dots for us, Father. But I'm not going to let you off the hook too early on this, because I want to know a little bit more. What about you personally, Father Lanzarith? What is this marching forth? Because I think the world would hear that and go, yes, we're coming out of a pandemic. There's violence. There's uncertainty. There's despair. We need to march forth. But how about for Father John Lanzarith? What does the finding of the body mean for you personally, spiritually and just personally?
Joe, it's a four-letter word. And it's the four-letter word, hope, H-O-P-E. And right now, in the midst of all the craziness of the world in which we find ourselves, and even some craziness that seemingly is happening in our church, hope, never lose hope. And personally, Joe, that's what I have been holding on to. Tied to that virtue of hope is courage. To be courageous in this apostolic age. Bishop Kimmy, the bishop of our diocese of Wichita, has been really encouraging us as priests and people in the diocese to read a book called From Christendom to Apostolic Mission. And we don't live in Christendom anymore. It's not that we're not Christian, but we don't live in Christendom, which is a society that follows the teachings and the ways of Christ. Rather, this is a time of apostolic age. And just like the apostles in the early church, they were filled with incredible courage to preach a message that was met with opposition, with resistance, with mockery, with irrelevance, and perhaps even the worst, death. And to, you know, the whole virtue of hope, brother, is I think what Father Capon continued as we hear those men that survived that prisoner of war camp. That was the one thing they constantly stressed, that Father Capon always preached hope, to not give up, to continue to fight, to continue to follow Jesus. And personally, Joe, that's exactly what I need. You know, at the time when Father Capon was serving as a priest, and during the time of his imprisonment in that prisoner of war camp in 1950 and 1951, the bishop of the Diocese of Wichita at the time was named Bishop Mark Carroll. And interestingly, in Wichita, we have two Catholic high schools, and one of them is named Cape and Mount Carmel Catholic High School, after our Blessed Mother and the servant of God, God willing, soon to be Saint Father Emil Capon. And the other side of town, we have a Catholic school, Bishop Carroll, Bishop Mark Carroll. In 1953, because of course we knew of the death of Father Capon, but in 1953, on July 29th, at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception, there was a memorial mass celebrated, because again, we didn't have the body of Father Capon, and so we couldn't have the mass of Christian burial. But in that homily in 1953, Bishop Carroll, who was a great spokesman, he said, "Not in all history can we find anything to equal the heroism of Christ the soldier. The work of a priest is the same as that of Christ. He is to be an apostle of love and the ambassador of peace, and at the same time, he is to be preeminently a soldier of Christ, the captain of souls, fighting error and superstition and the sinful spirit of the world." And I've taken those words from Bishop Carroll as he celebrated that mass, that memorial mass for Father Capon. And now, so with great excitement, looking forward to September 29th, 2021, when that body of Father Emil Capon then will be actually entering into the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Wichita, to be that soldier, to be that priest, all man, all priest. And as a priest for me personally, Joe, when you ask that question, that's what I'm really hoping to be, namely filled with the virtue of hope, being courageous to preach the gospel of Jesus, no matter what the cost, no matter what the ridicule, no matter what the persecution. I'm to be a priest of Jesus. And that's what this whole journey with Father Capon has strengthened my courage and hope to seek to follow his example.
Father, I have spoken in both those high schools. They're they may be friends in the religious world, but they're pretty big. I think they're pretty big. they go against each other pretty strongly. If I remember correctly,
they do. In fact, a quick story. Some of the guys may know this, but when Father Capon had been awarded the Bronze Star for his bravery on the battlefield, Father Capon would write letters to Bishop Carroll back home. And Bishop Carroll found out about the fact that Father Capon had been awarded the Bronze Star. Well, much to the dismay of Father Capon, Bishop Carroll published it in the Advance Register, which at that time was the name of our diocesan newspaper, that Father Capon had been awarded this. And Father Capon then wrote a letter to one of his friends back home and saying, "I have to be careful from this point forward, because whenever I write something, I'm afraid that the sheriff will find out about it." Well, the sheriff he was speaking of course, was Bishop Carroll. And so I say that that is the first written document that we have between the two schools that would indicate the beginning of that rivalry. But not only are these two great Catholic schools, but they're named after two great men. And that relationship, I think, between Bishop Carroll and Father Capon is something that is part of the history of the story.
I very much appreciate that. And I appreciate you helping me find the word rival. I think after 50 now, Father Lanzarin, I don't know the words. They don't come as easily as they used to. But I am going to tell everyone listening that if you listen real close to Father Lanzarin, it's like talking to a mystic sometimes. And he drops these little breadcrumbs. And I'm going to tell you that you should, the book he referred to is From Christendom to Apostolic Mission. And he mentioned that Bishop Kimmy is really pushing it out. And I think I've been talking about it a lot too. Pastoral Strategies for an Apostolic Age. I would tell anyone listening, it's a fantastic book to begin to understand the world. So I'm going to now move into maybe just for those listening that aren't Catholic or that don't have a lot of understanding of relics, Father, speak into the idea of why we need the body, why it's important, and really what do the relics mean to the Catholic Church in a big picture as well, in particular with Father Capon.
Joe, if you don't mind, I'm going to read a passage from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 23, verses 50 to 56. Now there was a virtuous and righteous man named Joseph, who, though he was a member of the council, had not consented to their plan of action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea and was awaiting the kingdom of God. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. After he had taken down the body, he wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a rock-hewn tomb in which no one had yet been buried. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come from Galilee with him followed behind, and when they had seen the tomb and the way in which the body was laid in it, they returned and prepared spices and perfumed oils. Then they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. The reason I use that gospel is the significance of the body and the reverence that is due the body in our Catholic faith tradition is that the body, when we are baptized, we become children of God and temples of the Holy Spirit. The blessing now, after 70 plus years of waiting for Father Capon's remains to be identified, to be found, almost amongst the hope that it would never happen, but it did. The joy of that is that this makes that incarnation of Father Capon become very real. And the relics are, in a way, an expression of our faith as Catholics. To venerate the relics of the saints is a profession of belief in several doctrines of our faith. First of all, a belief in everlasting life, that those who have obediently followed Christ and the gospel here on earth, that there is a resurrection of the body. And that's what we pray in the creed. I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Then also, the splendor that is due the human body and the respect that we should show towards bodies, both living and deceased. And in fact, one of the corporal works of mercy is that we bury the dead. And another of the spiritual work of mercy is that we pray for those who have died. And for those who have been given that role as far as canonized as saints, the belief in that intercessory prayer which the saints in heaven who are already in the kingdom of God pray to Jesus for us so that we may one day join them. And then that connection of the communion of saints. I believe in the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, the life of the world to come. We say those words in our creed, but sometimes they're just words that, you know, fall out of our mouth, almost as if we're not thinking about what we're praying. This is a time, I think, for all of us as Capon's men to reflect upon those professions of faith that we make in the creed. And the relics of the saints are physical reminders, because again, our faith requires eyes of faith to see things which can only be seen by something that is material or physical. We're not dualists. So isn't it interesting that Jesus uses very simple, ordinary things to be able to communicate something that is supernatural? The supernatural of the body and blood of Jesus Christ comes from the very simple bread and wine. Jesus uses simple things to be able to communicate something that is supernatural. And the relics in and of themselves aren't supernatural. But just to be in the presence of the relics of the saints who have gone before us, remind us that they are human beings just like us. They are sinners just like we are, but they give us again hope, and that in the communion of saints, they pray for us that we may one day join them in the kingdom of God. Let's never forget what is the thing for which we should seek first. Matthew, the gospel and the Sermon on the Mount, what does Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Let us never lose sight of the journey.
That's beautiful stuff, Father Lansworth. And your understanding helps me even as I'm talking to you right now. I'm thinking, gosh, I needed to hear that too. So tell me real quick, Father Lansworth, and anybody listening, they come to Wichita in September, and they're going to be there's going to be a funeral mass.
Right.
And then from there, can you give a little insight as to where Father Capon's relics will go and what that looks like on the Wichita end, at least for those out of the diocese who might be listening and wondering, is there going to be a shrine or is it going to be put in Pilsen? Where are the relics going to be?
Okay, great question. First of all, Joe, we're so excited that Wednesday, September 29th, 2021, will be the actual celebration of the Mass of Christian Burial. And Father Capon's body will be flown from Hawaii to Dallas, and then from Dallas will be flying into Wichita on that previous Saturday. At that point, then, his body will be transported by vehicles to Pilsen, where there on Saturday and Sunday, Father Capon's body will be in his hometown of Pilsen. And as a diocese, we want to let that parish family celebrate again with great joy the return of a native son home. You know, there in Pilsen, Joe, I know you've been there many times, but that statue from the soil of Kansas, he consecrated the soul of Korea. And what a blessing now, after 70 years, his body is returning to the soil of Kansas. And so we wanted to make sure that that parish family in Pilsen would have time to be with Father Capon's body. And so that time on Saturday and Sunday will be a private time for the parish. Then his body will be brought to Wichita. And on Monday night at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception, Monday night, the priests of the diocese, and this is a great blessing. So I'm sorry, I'm already tearing up about it even before it happens. But as brother priests, we will be able to pray Vespers and to spend time with our brother priest in preparation. Tuesday afternoon, his body will be taken to Hartman Arena, which is just north of Wichita. And there will be a public opportunity, a public vigil. And this is, again, part of the whole Mass of Christian Burial, that the vigil is a time of prayer. And there's one thing I think we want to stress. We're going to be gathering to celebrate and to honor a great man. But the man that we're really honoring is not Father Capon. The man we're really honoring is Jesus Christ. Father Capon was a great man, but there would be no hope for Father Capon to enter into the kingdom of God if it was not for Jesus Christ. And that is why in our Catholic faith tradition, we call it a Mass of Christian Burial. It's not primarily upon the one who is deceased, but it's about the one who has defeated death. And the last enemy to be defeated is death. And that's exactly why Jesus' resurrection is victory over sin and death, by which we have hope. And it's precisely because of Jesus that we have hope that Father Capon now, by the mercy of God, is now in the glorious kingdom of heaven, praying for us who are also sinners who are on that journey. After the vigil on Tuesday night, we move Wednesday morning into that Mass of Christian Burial. And again, the whole focus of the funeral Mass, it says in the rite of funerals, at the funeral of its children, the Church confidently celebrates Christ's Paschal mystery. Its intention is that those who by baptism were made one body with the dead and risen Christ may with him pass from death to life. In soul, they are to be cleansed and taken up into heaven with the saints and elect. In body, they await the blessed hope of Christ's coming and the resurrection of the dead. At that Mass of Christian Burial, then his body will be taken by the hearse to our Veterans Memorial Park, which is about 7 blocks from the cathedral. And we're hoping at that point that the body will then, the coffin, the casket will be placed on a horse drawn caisson with full military honors and will be transported by horse drawn caisson 7 blocks down Central Street to the actual cathedral. We will have several hundred of our Catholic school students in their school uniforms lining both sides of Central. And when the coffin containing the body of the servant of God, Father Emil Capon, passes by, the students in silence will kneel. The body then will be brought into the cathedral, and there it will be placed in the tomb that we are calling it, in the cathedral itself. We're not using the term crypt because crypt has the understanding of being underground. We're calling it a tomb. And so the coffin will be sealed in a tomb in the cathedral church. God willing, this is the place where people will be able to come and venerate and pray with Father Capon's body remains there in that cathedral church. God willing, if Father Capon later is beatified and canonized, then that opportunity as far as a further discussion of where the body of Father Capon will then be moved will depend upon the timing, and we don't want to make that decision until it happens. But right now, this is a place where people will be able to come to the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception and pray. And we're expecting a tremendous number of pilgrims to come there, just as they have in the years past coming to Pilsen, to the Church of St. John Nepomucene. Even though Father Capon's body wasn't there, as you know, being there many times, Joe, what a great presence that you have of Father Capon, because that was the place where he was formed as a young boy growing into adulthood, later to the priesthood from that parish. But again, that decision will ultimately be made as time progresses. But we're just so excited to have his body remain, the bodily remains interred in the tomb at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception.
Father, this whole thing has given me chills. I mean, just the horse-drawn carriage, the Catholic school children kneeling as the body passes. This is a huge opportunity, though, Father Lanzareth, not only for Wichita and for the people of Pilsen and for the people of Kansas, but really for the Church of the United States. And there are going to be a lot of people looking at this, Catholics and non-Catholics, with curiosity to learn his story and to maybe be inspired by him. But how can we, especially those who are listening to the podcast right now, Capon's men, how can we use this as an opportunity to evangelize even further into our communities?
Excuse me, Joe, that's a great question. Again, as this journey of Capon's men has always been to follow the example of Father Capon. But again, what would Father Capon constantly be telling us today? What he told his boys 70 years ago, never give up hope and follow what Jesus says. And for us as men, as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ, as Capon's men, we hold on to that name, Capon's men. That name means something. And last week, we heard the wonderful podcast of Jim Corbell. If you haven't listened to it on the Foxhole, it's well worth listening to his story. He's very much a linguist, and the significance of the word, and the significance of the word, as was said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. As Capon's men, we need, Joe, to put that word of God into our hearts so that our very lives witness the word, that the word takes on flesh. And is that not the mystery of the incarnation? Yes. And thus, God so loved the world that in the fullness of time, he sent his only begotten son, so that all who believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. That was the message that Father Capon wanted to give to those boys and even to those who were not Catholic. And that's an important part, as you know, the story, that many of those who were in that prisoner of war camp weren't Catholic, but Father Capon inspired them by the message of Jesus. And that is exactly in an apostolic age, because we don't live in a society of Christendom any longer, that we're going to be met with some indifference, some ridicule, some mockery. And again, the temptation I know for myself and perhaps for others is that instead of being courageous to continue to preach the gospel, we become silent because we're afraid that we're going to be met with resistance. No, if we really believe in what we profess, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe that no one comes to the Father except through Christ. Then why are we afraid? Because he is with us. I am with you always until the end of the age. Be courageous, be bold, live the faith, follow the example of Father Capon, trust in Jesus Christ. Brother, these are simple things. They're easy to say in word. Are they difficult to live? Absolutely. But we need that virtue of courage and virtue of hope. And that's why I keep going back to how this whole journey, as far as walking with Capon's men, has been for me a great, great journey of hope, accompanying one another. And that's what Capon's men, we need to do, because we can't do this by ourselves. We need to accompany one another. Fraternity, courage, direction. Let us not lose sight of the one whom we're following. And Father Capon pointed to Jesus, and that's exactly what we should be doing when we visit, evangelize, and speak to others.
Well, before I ask you to pray us off, Father Lansworth, I do want to say to everyone who's listening a couple things. One, go to the Diocese of Wichita website, and you can find information about the festivities around the return of Father Capon to his home and the festivities that are open to the public that we want to all be part of. Secondly, I'll say Father Lansworth has been on every retreat we've done as Capon's men, and I know in October there's another retreat coming up. And I also would think that retreat, I'm pretty sure, is going to have some time, hopefully, in the cathedral, close to the body of Father Capon. So I just say to you, wherever you are in the country, check that out on Capon's Men website and try to come to the retreat. I think it'll be pretty powerful this year. And lastly, Father Lansworth, you know we love you. You know we're praying for you. You know we consider you a friend and a spiritual mentor and advisor to Capon's Men and a lot of us men out here. See you. Is one of our heroes. So I would ask you to pray us off the podcast, but be assured of our prayers as well.
Joe, thank you so much. It's very humbling. I really think I just kind of follow the example of Capon's men. I don't think I lead as much as I follow them. There's just some wonderful brothers that I am so inspired by, who are good Catholic men, good husbands, fathers, disciples of Jesus. And that is exactly what Capon's Men is trying to promote. So what a blessing it is. By the way, the date of that Capon's Men retreat is October the 9th and 10th. And again, we would love to have as many as can come. Again, it will be a great event because it will be shortly after Father Capon, his bodily remains are interred in the cathedral, that we can actually be in his presence. And again, what a great blessing that is. I would like to close with a prayer. Again, I'm taking it from the last chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had happened. They assembled with the elders and took counsel. Then they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came by night and stole him while we were asleep. And if this gets to the ears of the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." The soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has circulated among the Jews to the present day. The reason of sharing that gospel is that the body of Jesus and that empty tomb are the foundation of the resurrection that we are about to celebrate. Let us pray. Lord God, you chose our brother, Father Emil Capon, to serve your people as a priest and to share the joys and burdens of their lives. Look with mercy on him and give him the reward of his labors, the fullness of life promised to those who preach your holy gospel. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father Emil Capon, servant of God, Pray for us. Amen.
Thank you, Father John, for sharing your thoughts and insights with us today. I have to say, it's really hard to follow up after that powerful prayer, but I think that the overarching thing that stands out to me from your conversation is how we're called to place our hope in Christ, and how those words that we pray in the Creed every Sunday, or every time we pray the Rosary, ought to give us courage. So the challenge this week is to pray the Creed slowly, with intention at each phrase, and to really let it sink in. We have hope because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. That's what is so remarkable about our religion, and that's what Father Capon's life and homecoming is all about. Thank you for joining us in the Foxhole. You can learn more about Father Capon's homecoming at capincomeshome.com. Until next time, know of our prayers and keep marching forth.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.